You're listening to Vatican Radio. Pope Francis on Monday leads Vespers with members of other Christian churches in the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls to mark the conclusion of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. During this annual celebration, churches around the world hold joint worship services, Bible studies and other encounters aimed at promoting greater understanding and closer cooperation among members of the different denominations. The Focolare movement throughout the world has a particular commitment to the search for unity and reconciliation among the divided Christian churches. Founded in northern Italy by laywoman Chiara Lubich at the end of the Second World War, its members actively foster and support the ecumenical endeavour through direct experiences of living, working and worshipping together. To find out more, I spoke with Leslie Ellison, a long-time Anglican member of the Focolare community in the United Kingdom.
My name's Leslie and I live in a Focolare in Welling Garden City in England, which is a little town just outside London.
You were brought up, though, weren't you, in Liverpool in the 60s, at a time when the city was still known for its sectarian violence between Catholics and Protestants. And that was very much part of your upbringing, wasn't
it? Was indeed. I remember as a child, for example, when I went to school on the first day, a big girl came and got hold of my pigtails and pulled my head back and said, "You're a cat or a dog." This was the cat or the dog. The cattywags were the Catholics and the proddy dogs with the Protestants. So I went home and said to my mum, "Am I a cat or a dog?" And she said, "You're a Protestant and you should be proud of it." And then later on, as sort of a young teenager, every Sunday they had processions along the riverside because we lived on the other side of the Mersey, so we were facing Liverpool. And one Sunday they would all be dressed in orange and the following Sunday they would all be dressed in green. And we had instructions. It was always the bigger children who sort of organised us. And if it's orange, you can stand up and shout, cheer, and all the rest of it. If it's green, you can throw stones.
So you were brought up throwing stones at the Catholics.
The Catholics, that's right, yes.
Was yours very much a church upbringing? Was it a very big part of your life as a child?
As a very young child, I was taken by next-door neighbours to the Methodist Church, and that was really, really important because it was just after the war and they didn't have a church. It had been bombed out, so we had everything in the hall next door. But these Sunday school ladies, as we used to call them, they knew Jesus and they made him known to us as children. So we sang songs like, I can still remember the songs like, "Jesus Wants Me for a Sunbeam," and we sang them with such commitment and we believed that Jesus really did want us. So yes, that was a really important foundation. And it was only later on I realised I'd been baptised into the Anglican Church, and so I decided to get confirmed.
The founder of the Focolare, Chiara Lubich, came to Liverpool, didn't she, in the mid-60s? And in some way this is bound up with your own story, her visit to the cathedral there.
Yes, it is. She came and spoke. It was the very first time that a Catholic and B, a woman, had spoken in the Anglican Cathedral. So it was quite a big event, but it was kept low-key by the Catholics. But she was invited by Canon Pawley, who'd been one of the official Anglican observers at Vatican II. And he'd met her in Rome here and felt that she had really something to offer to the Church of England because she was talking about unity. And he felt at the time that there was a lack of unity within the Church of England itself and that this could be something really positive. And also present at that meeting where Chiara talked was an Anglican Franciscan friar who was working in the industrial mission in Warrington, which is nearby to Liverpool. So he went into all the factories and met the workers and shared his faith with them.
So was this about the time when you became aware of the movement?
He heard Chiara speaking in the cathedral, and after that he became sort of like, he was like a St. Paul. He went round all the Anglican parishes in the area talking about the Focolare. He talked about lots of other things. And in fact, when he came to our parish, his main theme was God calls people. So he talked about lots of people that had been called by God. And inside all these people that he talked about, he mentioned the Focolare movement and the wartime and how everything around them was collapsing, but they felt called by God to live for unity. And it really struck me. And afterwards I went and said, "Didn't they die under all these bombs that were falling?" He said, no, they're here in Liverpool." And that was sort of my first contact with the Focolare. There was a little community there.
And then since then, you've been very deeply involved with the movement, haven't you?
What struck me when I first met the Focolarini, the ladies in the community in Liverpool, was that they kept talking about living the gospel. And we'd been taught, at my confirmation, the bishop said to us, "Now, I want you to learn this off by heart before I lay my hands on you." And we had to learn about the word of God, that you read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest it. You see, so we learnt this prayer off. It's Bible Sunday prayer, isn't it? Read, mark, learn, inwardly digest. So when they started talking to me about the fact that you had to live it, I thought, I don't know about living it. I know about reading it and learning it and, you know, inwardly digesting it. So that was a big novelty to me, and it took a while to understand what it meant exactly. How do you put the gospel into practice? But it happened in a very simple way that I understood it properly for the first time, because I'd just started teaching in a very nice, comfortable school, middle-class school, with very polite children. And I had a friend who was the headmistress of a very, very run-down school in Birkenhead on Merseyside. And she rang me up one day and she said, I'm looking for a teacher in September. Would you like to come? And I thought, not really. And I said, let me think about it. And then I discovered that the phrase from the gospel that we were living that month was, I have come to bring the good news to the poor. And it suddenly occurred to me, if I said yes to her, it would be a way of trying to live the gospel. And that's what I did. And that was for the very first time that I understood that you can nearly always apply gospel phrases to your own situation one way or another. That was quite a dramatic one, but it helped me to understand it.
Tell me about the community down in London now. What sort of representation is there of the Focolare movement in London and indeed throughout the country?
Yeah, it's mainly, we moved our main centre from London to Welwyn Garden City, which is just outside London, because in Welwyn Garden City we've got a conference centre which has been quite well used by the Focolare. It was opened quite a while now, 83 or 84, I think, by Cardinal Hume. He was there, and the Bishop of St Albans, as it was then, yes. And Cardinal Hume, he gave us a really strong mandate. He said, this centre has to be like the biblical concept of a tent, because a tent is always open. And he said, you must always be open. You're not just here for Focolare, but you must be open to the local community, open to the churches. And so since the 80s, that has developed, because originally it was just conceived as something for the use of the Focolare members for formation, for weekends, for retreats, that kind of thing. But little by little, it got known in the local area of Hertfordshire and Welwyn Garden City, because it was sort of like common ground for churches where they could meet and come. So lots of people now come to use it, all sorts of people, secular as well as religious, all sorts of churches, Lutherans, Anglicans, Catholics, ecumenical groups. So it's a very, very vibrant place. And in a sense, we do our outreach partly through the building itself, because it's very harmonious, very welcoming. And it brings people to get to know God if they don't necessarily know him, especially secular groups like the National Health Groups use it to have their training days. And they're always struck by the building and by the atmosphere that they find there. And recently, all the groups that come in now have started saying, can you give us a very short session on what you are and who you are, which is fantastic, because we can talk about our life and about our love for God and our outreach, really.
Is it true to say that outreach, ecumenical relations, is still at the heart of the Focolare spirituality today?
Certainly in England it is, and I think in countries where there is a living ecumenism, I think it is. It's probably a bit more difficult in places like Italy, obviously, but yet even here in Italy there's been an awful lot of people are working, doing beautiful things with Baptists. Even in Sicily, we heard the other day of a community that are working in collaboration with Baptists. So a lot does go on in Italy, but it's less well known, I think. But certainly in Britain, there's a lot of ecumenical work, yes.
If we think back to the days of your childhood there in Liverpool and how much progress has been made in relations between Catholics and Anglicans in England today, what perhaps is the sense of Christian Unity Week now? Because many people think, well, that work has all been done.
I think what we've been doing at home is very much looking to see what sort of projects can we work on together. Ecological projects, for instance. I spoke the other day about a project which some of our young people, who are from lots of different churches, have worked on with a group of Muslim young people on planting trees, because there's a lot of waste land around London, all the way around it, actually, there's a whole circle. And they're little by little planting trees in fields and building up new woods. And this is a great ecological project. But there's all sorts of things going on. In Welwyn Garden City itself, the local churches run a drop-in centre for people who are out of work or who have problems, who want to drop in for any reason at all. And that's a tremendous witness in the town centre. So there's lots of things that we do together. It's a sort of more of a life that we live together now, that we don't even think I'm a Catholic or I'm an Anglican, or we just get on with it and do it together. And I think that's quite typical of life in the parishes and in the churches in England.